Welcome to Anchor Point, where we believe that the next 30 minutes could change your life forever. So join us to consider the greatest message ever heard, the good news of the gospel, as well as sound scriptural teaching for believers, all based on the Word of God, the anchor for our souls. In John chapter 3, we read the story of one man's personal interview with the Lord Jesus Christ. His name was Nicodemus, and we are told that he came to Jesus sometime in the night. But why exactly did he come at the night time? There's been lots of speculation. Maybe he was too busy during the day. Maybe he was afraid of someone seeing him talk to the Lord Jesus. Maybe he just couldn't wait for the morning to come. The important thing is that he did come at all. And what a memorable night that was in the experience of this religious yet empty man. A night he would always remember. A night that he came to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ was much more than a teacher. He was a savior. The savior he desperately needed if he was ever going to be in God's heaven. We hope that today's message about the necessity of the new birth and what it involves will be a blessing to you. Mr. Ramsey starts with reading the passage from John chapter 3 and allows us to listen in to the personal interview of this man with the Lord Jesus Christ himself.
If you have your Bibles, we're going to read in the Gospel of John chapter 3 and verse 1. This is a story, so follow it closely. There was a man of the Pharisees, very religious man, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, you can almost see him shaking his head, pardon me? Says, how? How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's all it can be. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Something completely different. You following the logic of the Lord Jesus? And then he says, verse 7, Don't be surprised, marvel not, that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. Even meteorologists don't have all the answers. And then he goes on to say, So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master, a teacher of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Verse 14, and you can almost see Nicodemus' face light up because he's familiar with this story. This part of the story rings a bell with Nicodemus. As Moses lifted up
the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. He was one of the great religious men of his day. Strict, very, very religious. In fact, he used to wear parts of the Bible on his clothing around his arms. He was so devout, so religious, that every day he was occupied with his religion. He was careful about what he ate. Very careful, tedious. Oh, no, 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 I couldn't do that. Oh, no, that's against my religion. I shouldn't do that. He was a very religious man. He read his Bible. The Old Testament is what he had in his day. He read that. He probably knew it through and through. He was an influential member of the governing council of the Jews. History tells us that he was one of the three richest men in Jerusalem. Prestigious, aristocracy, the elite of Jerusalem, the best that religion could produce, the best that money could produce, the best that education could produce. But there was something going on in and around Jerusalem and out in the countryside. There was this man that didn't go to a religious school, never went to any of the theological seminaries of his day. And he was just wearing a simple robe, and he was just wearing a pair of sandals. And he grew up in Nazareth, and he was coming around the countryside, and thousands of people were flocking to hear him, gathering in the fields, on tiptoes looking. Did you see him? Can you get a glimpse of him? And everyone was occupied with this one man from Nazareth. One day someone said, "There he is. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And they pointed out this young man of 30 years of age. "What do you mean, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world?" There was quite a buzz on. Who was he? And when he taught the people, he spoke with power. And he just didn't have idle words. He could show his authority and his power by doing tremendous miracles. Oh, I know there are people, you see them on television. Actually, I get sick of those things, do you? We were in a motel room not too long ago and turned on the TV, and there was just something about it. There was a man holding a microphone, supposedly representing Christianity. And he said, "If you've got a problem, if you've got a sickness, if you've got a blood condition, if you've got this and if you've got that, you come over and place the palm of your hand on the television screen." Frauds. That's what creates cynics in society. But this man from Nazareth, he wasn't charging a fee. He wasn't taking a collection. This man was demonstrating that he was no ordinary man. He was raising the sick. He was giving sight to the blind. People who had never heard a word spoken went home bouncing, running down the road thinking, "I can hear." Can you imagine what it must have been for people to go home to their families transformed? People who were laying on a cot all their life with paralysis, picking up their cot or throwing away their crutches and running home and saying, "I've been changed. Who did it?" That man was the Lord Jesus Christ. And Nicodemus thought, "My, who is this man? I am the person that has all the religion. If anyone has a chance of getting into heaven, it must be me. People almost salute me when I'm walking by the street. They respect me. They know how sincere I am." There may be someone sincere here tonight. Did you know you could be sincerely wrong? Nicodemus was sincere. He didn't take his
religion flippantly or lightly. And he thought, who is this man? All the people are gathering around him and he's speaking such amazing words and doing these tremendous miracles. I better get to see him because I'm not getting any younger. In fact, he might have been an old man by this time. You get that from the passage here. Maybe he looked in the mirror in the morning and thought, man, Nicodemus, where's all your black hair gone? It's turning gray. You've lived your life full of religion. And now there's this man on the scene. And there's something that doesn't add up. Are you right or is he right? And it says he went to find Jesus one night. I don't know why you think he went at nighttime. Maybe you think he was chicken. Maybe you thought, well, he just wanted to slink and slip through the shadows and didn't want any of his religious colleagues to see him. So he went after dark. Maybe. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly why he went at night. But did you ever think that that dear old man Nicodemus thought, I'm not getting any younger. I could die tonight in my sleep. I know friends who have. Their little hearts stop ticking. And either I'm right or he's right. I have to get to the bottom of this. I can't wait until tomorrow morning. I'm not going to wait until the daytime. This is an urgent matter. This is about the kingdom of God. And so off he goes through the dark shadows of the night. And he finds the Lord Jesus, and he comes face to face with the Lord Jesus, and he says, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. And the Lord Jesus says, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I was sure I was going to be in the kingdom of God. I've spent my life heading in this direction. I've held firmly to my beliefs. And now all of a sudden in the darkness of the night, I'm meeting a man who has power. And he's telling me, except I'm born again, I can't be in the kingdom of God. This is a shake-up. This is a wake-up call. In my life, I have to get to the bottom of this. Have you ever been there? You survey your life and you think, well, I've done this. I've really reduced the number of swear words in my vocabulary. That's nice. And I'm controlling my temper a lot better than I used to a few years back. I used to just fly off the handle at anything. But I think I got that under control. I've gone to some anger management seminars. It's nice. And I was baptized, and I was confirmed, and I've taken Holy Communion. I don't go to church regularly now, but I try to go on Christmas and Easter. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, except you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. I know the word born again is used so lightly today. A movie star is big for a few years, and then they get overtaken with a drug problem or some scandal, and they go out of the picture for a while, and then they come back with a new release, a new big hit or something, and they say their career has been born again. Where did they get that from? From the Bible, but they're misusing it. Being born again is a definite once in a lifetime experience, and you must be born again if you're ever going to be in God's heaven. Now, as you scan back through the years of your life, you might have all of those things to your credit, but do you have a moment when you can say, thank God, that is when I was born into the kingdom of God. I know when I was born naturally. Do you know when you were born into the kingdom of God spiritually? This was a shock to Nicodemus. He thought if ever there was a man that should be okay, that had a good chance for getting into the kingdom of God, it must be me. And then he says, how?
Doesn't say why. No argument. No, this is too serious. I don't understand. Can a man be born when he is old? Can he go back inside his mother's womb and be born all over again? Oh, with all your religion, how dark a person can be. Jesus answers his questions. The Lord Jesus begins to say, Nicodemus, you know, 60, 70, 80 years ago, you were born into this world. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Just that. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, Nicodemus, there is no way that the flesh can evolve into something higher. Fleshly life can never spawn or generate spiritual life. You have been born into the family of Adam. Whether you were in an obstetrical unit, in a hospital nursery, or whether it was a home delivery, Nicodemus. But whenever it was and wherever it was, you are born into the human family. But there's another family over here, and a natural birth won't do it. It's a birth from above. You're born into the family of God. Have you been born into the family of God? Do you have a crystal clear time in your life that you can so vividly recall unless you are stricken with Alzheimer's or early dementia? Do you have a moment like that when you say, oh, thank God, I started for heaven. All of those years I wasn't saved. I thought I was okay. I thought I was in the kingdom of God. I thought I was a child of God. I thought we were all children of God. No, we're not all children of God. We're all the creatures of God. But not until we experience a new birth do we become the children of God, in the family of God. And Jesus says to Nicodemus, you might not understand how all of this works. You don't need to know the mechanics. The wind blows and it goes this way and that way. You don't need to know where it's coming from and where it's going. You don't need to know this. But Nicodemus, beware of this, that God works in your life. The Spirit of God is working in your life. You're not standing before me here by chance, Nicodemus. It's the Spirit of God working. Friend, you're not here by chance tonight. Behind the scenes, God is working in your life. Now, are you going to let him continue to work? What are you going to do, Nicodemus? Nicodemus asks the how question again. I want to know how, Master. On this dark night, I want to know how. And then the Lord Jesus went on to say, it's like this, Nicodemus. You remember that Old Testament story? Yes, I remember it well, he said. I've often used it in my religious teachings about Moses lifting up the serpent, the snake in the wilderness, and all these people that were stricken with the disease. Once they looked to the serpent of brass in the wilderness, they were healed the moment by faith they looked. Now, he said, Nicodemus, it's just like that. Only it's not a serpent of brass that's going to be lifted on a pole. I am going to be lifted up upon a cross. And my blood is going to be shed for sinners. And whoever looks at me by faith, away from their own works, away from their self, away from anything, any claim to fame that they might have, looks away from themselves and looks to me, whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have eternal life. I think right there and then, Nicodemus, he wasn't going to wait till the morning. He wasn't going to put it off another week. He wanted to have that eternal life. He wanted to be in the kingdom of God that night. And right there and then, he understood, by faith, I look away from my good works and myself, and I look to him. Friend, God's salvation is in Christ and none other. And you must be born again. That was a shock to Nicodemus. It might be a shock to you tonight, but you must be born again.
Well, it certainly is something to think about, isn't it? Do you have a time in your life when you entered into a personal relationship with Christ? When you were born again? when you received Christ as your Savior. Christ said that it is imperative. It is an absolute must. We are not fit for heaven the way we are. We need new life, life from God. So just as the children of Israel had to look at the serpent of brass on a pole in the wilderness, even so we need to look to Christ on the cross and there see a completed salvation already procured for sinners who repent and believe. Are you one of them? If this or any of our Bible messages here at Anchor Point has made you aware of God's interest in you, or if you'd like some literature or a visit that would help you to understand these important truths, why don't you drop us a line at email@anchorpointradio.com. We'd love to hear from you. We're glad that you were able to join us at Anchor Point today. Anchor Point is sponsored by Christians who are meeting in various gospel halls. Each of these Christian assemblies holds gospel services every Sunday night, as well as regular prayer and Bible studies throughout the week. No collection is ever taken, and a very warm welcome awaits you. And if you've been challenged by today's message, would like to know more about the truth of the gospel, or of gathering under the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, following New Testament principles, please feel free to check out our website at anchorpointradio.com. There you will find more information, as well as the location, programs, and meeting schedules for the gospel hall nearest you. Also, feel free to take a look at other literature and audio offers at anchorpointradio.com, where you can also subscribe to our Anchor Point podcast. My name is John Sharp, and thank you once again for listening. And we invite you to join us again next week at the same time for Anchor Point, where we believe that in times like these, you need a Savior. And in times like these, you need an anchor.